Okay. There are some questions that have been turned in, and some of the questions, I'll probably be combining the answers in some of the teaching for the remainder of the week. So I may not actually address them, but I might make reference to them in the course of a particular service while I'm doing some teaching, because some of the questions are directly related to some of the things I know I'm supposed to teach this week. But this particular question has to do with the Bible college I mentioned. And I didn't share, you know, how can you get information about it and so forth. Well, one way, and this would pertain to a lot of the folks that, you know, obviously aren't here, maybe listening to this recording, you can go to our website, www.jmmgrace.com. It stands for Jim Martin Ministries, Grace Ministries. It's jmmgrace.com. And when you get there, there's a place where you can click to go to the Bible College. And if somebody were to come to me and say, would you mail me information about the Bible College, I would ask, can you get on the internet and find us? Because everything that we would mail to you in print is already on the website. All the course information, there's an application on the website, everything is already on there. Also, if you don't have access to the internet, we can mail the information to you in print form. Or some people have computers, but they're not very proficient on the internet, or some computers aren't even hooked up to the internet. We can send in the information to you on a CD-ROM, and then you can read it, print it out, whatever you want to do. So a lot of different ways to get this information. And the question that was put to me, you know, how can I, you know, enroll in your Bible college? Well, it's very simple. We even will accept students that are presently in high school, but they have to have a permission slip signed by their parents, because we don't want them to be overloaded. And also, we will accept people who haven't even graduated from high school. A lot of colleges won't do that. And, you know, shame on them. I'm talking about Bible colleges and so forth. You know, shame on them. Because, I mean, can you imagine Jesus looking at Peter and saying, doggone it, Peter, I was going to have you as an apostle, but you didn't graduate from high school. So, sorry. Give me a break. So, you know, our policies are very different than most Christian colleges and universities. And as far as enrolling and taking the courses while you are here, what you need to know, first off, you know, you have to talk to Pastor Frank about that and, you know, make sure that that gets worked out. And then also you need to know that every course requires one test and one paper that you have to write. And it's not an overload of work. But what I can tell you is this. We will know within the first 2 to 3 courses if you are paying attention to what's being taught. I didn't realize it would be that dramatic until after we started the Bible college. And then I realized, I mean, it's just, God has shown me so much in this. It's almost like, you want to know where people are living, I'll show you through their coursework. I'll show you what they're applying. If they're applying what's being taught, it's going to come through in the test. It'll come through the papers. It'll be clear as a bell. And it is. It's absolutely incredible because it comes across as being so easy. The Bible college just, it doesn't seem tough at all. And it really isn't. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it'll shine a light on a person's life as they go through. But I'll also tell you this. What we teach is, it's life-changing. We have ministers, pastors over in Africa that are taking the courses and then they're turning around and teaching this to their congregations. We have a couple of pastors, well, they're really not just pastors, they're almost like overseers or bishops or something like that, to where they pastor a church, but they also have several churches and pastors under them. And they're not only teaching this to their people in their own church, but they're also teaching it to the pastors that are under them. So this is just, and the reports we've had back from people in prison, in other countries, just all over how that, you know, I've never understood the Bible the way I do now and so on and so forth. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. If you're thinking about enrolling, you know, praise God for it. And like I said, we do not charge. And, you know, obviously a person doesn't have anything to give, they can't give anything. It's no big deal. It's just that we ask everybody, just be sensitive. Just be sensitive to the Lord, whatever you think He'd have you send. And don't anybody ever come under condemnation because you don't have money to send in. That's not what this is about. This Bible college was not instituted to be a cash cow. Okay? It was instituted because God said, do it. And we don't charge for anything. And if you're thinking about it, I would say pray about it. And if you believe that God is leading you to do it, then follow through. Just get clarification from him. And then also, you know, be sure you talk to Pastor Frank about it, how you can work out the logistics for the reading that needs to be done and so on and so forth. Because we send you the books, the textbooks, all of it. And, we will work closely with Pastor Frank here. However, that he believes God would have it be done here and so forth. So I'm not speaking for Pastor Frank. I'm just saying, we have to follow the right protocol and the authority that God has established. But praise God, I'll tell you what, if you're serious, this college will change your life. It absolutely will. And one thing I can tell you this, I can guarantee this as much as I'm standing here, as much as Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. If you do not presently know what your ministry calling is, within the first five courses, we will teach you how to find out what your ministry calling is. And if you apply what we teach, you will come to the place of knowing exactly if God's called you to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever he's called you to do, you will know if you apply what we teach. It's guaranteed. You say, well, that's a pretty big guarantee. Well, the reason I make the guarantee is because we show you from Scripture how to find out. And since God can't lie, therefore, you apply what the Word says, bingo, you're there. You'll know. So it's not that tough. One of the most frustrating things for me is for people who have been in churches 20, 30, 40 years, and they still don't know what God's called them to do. I put the blame for that on the pastors, because one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to help the people in the congregation know how to find out what their calling is. So anyway, that's just a little... advertisement for the Bible College. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. And again, tomorrow is Wednesday night. And it's my understanding there may be more people here on Wednesday night. So I might say some more about the Bible College again tomorrow night, just to kind of let you know ahead of time for the folks that aren't here. Okay. We are talking about this week about this relationship with God. We're talking about what can we do to enhance this relationship. Meaning, what is it that we can see from God's Word that we can do? Not what man or traditions or religion tells us, but what can we do from God's Word to enhance this relationship? Because this is all God's after, is the relationship. The deeper you go in this relationship, the more you conform to the image of Christ, and the more real God becomes to you. The more you know God, the more you understand God. It's almost like, right now God is like this great being out there hidden behind these clouds. Well, the clouds begin to dissipate and you begin to see Him. You begin to understand Him. You begin to realize that a lot of things that people have said about Him just flat out are not true. You begin to find out who He really is. You know, a lot of people think that God still deals with people today the way He did in the Old Testament. Earthquakes and killing people and all that. No, things are different now, because now we have access to a Savior. They didn't back then. So we're talking about what can we do, what does the Word show that we can do that will enhance our relationship with God? Well, what we're going to talk about tonight has to do with confession, what you speak. Listen, guys, there are so many teachings out there about confession, and some of them stink. In fact, probably a lot of them stink. Because a lot of times when you hear teaching and ministry about, confession, what they're trying to do is convince you to, confess for a new car, confess for a husband, confess for a wife, confess for money, confess for... In other words, confess about everything but you. See what I mean? God, I want to be a millionaire. God says, yeah, but you still got a bunch of issues in you. I don't care about the issues. I just want the money. You hear me, God? God, I want a Cadillac. I say I have a Cadillac. I want a Cadillac. Give me a Cadillac. And God says, well, how are you going to pay for the insurance? You don't have any money. Oh, God, I want a big 10,000 square foot house. God says, how are you going to pay for the insurance on that? How are you going to pay the taxes on that? You don't have any money. Well, God, I don't care about that. I just want the house. And you get these people. I know that there are folks out there that have confessed for husbands and wives. And the people they're confessing, oh, God, in Jesus' name, I just confess it's Susie. is my wife. Well, Susie's already married. Trust me, that confession is not going to work. I remember one time there were these three girls that lived together. They had an apartment or rented a house or something. And they all went to the same church. Well, one day, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome joins the church. And, I mean, this guy was good looking, handsome guy. And naturally, all the single women are like, "Whoo, look at that." And one of the girls starts confessing, "In Jesus' name, I confess, he is my husband. He is my, in Jesus' name, I confess, he is my husband." Well, you know what he did? He asked her roommate out. And not only did he ask her roommate out, they started dating. And not only did they start dating, he proposed to her. Well, little miss, "He's my husband. He's my husband in Jesus' name." She got mad. "You can't have him. I've been confessing him. He's supposed to be mine." You can't confess to change the will of another human being. God is not going to stand behind that kind of confession. And so you have a lot of teachings about confession out there. And the truth of the matter is, all confession, everything that we speak, our confession is supposed to line up with God's Word. I'm going to show this to you tonight. I'm going to show you how it will change your life. Because see, here's the thing. The more that you confess and your life begins conforming to the image of Jesus, you know what's going to happen? You're going to forget about the 10,000 square foot house. You're going to forget about the Cadillac. You're going to forget about the millions of dollars. And you're going to stop worrying about whether or not you're ever going to get married. That's because your life is going to be so wrapped up in Jesus. And you're going to understand that relationship. That relationships with other people are nice, but they will never be able to replace that relationship with Him. And this, I've counseled a lot of people over the years about, "I want to get married. I want to get married." I said, "Man, you need to focus on your walk with God." "Yeah, but I want to get married." "I am focusing on my walk with God. I want to get married." No, I don't think you get it here. If you focus on your walk with God, let Him work the marriage thing out. And if you end up getting married, you do. If you don't get married, you don't. Bottom line is, you're still going to be walking arm in arm with Jesus Christ. Well, first off, what I'd like you to do is look at Isaiah 55. This, what I'm going to show you tonight has really helped me a lot. Well, in fact, everything I'm sharing with you this whole week has helped me a lot over the years. More than what I thought it would when I first heard it. See, that's the thing. I was sharing earlier this week about how that we have to remain teachable. Well, I always thought I was teachable until I realized how unteachable I really was. Because I kind of had my mind made up about certain things. And I'd hear these teachings like, "Yeah, okay, well, that's good. That's, good job, preacher. Maybe next time put a little more in the offering." But it's like it didn't really sink in. And the truth of the matter is, all of these things I'm sharing with you this week, I actually had to start doing them by faith. Because in my mind, here's how I reasoned it out. Okay, I see these things in God's Word. I got some doubts about them. But I see these things in God's Word. And I see in God's Word, He cannot lie. So therefore, He's telling me the truth. But I still have some doubts about some of this stuff. Because I can't seem to figure out how the pieces fit together. Therefore, I'm kind of not sure about this. But what do I have to lose? If I see it in the Word, and I know He doesn't lie, and I don't have a clue about the hows and the how comes, here's what I'm going to do, God. Take a step of faith and start doing some of these things. I'll just see if it works. Here's the thing about it. If it's God's Word, it will work. I mean, if it's a principle from His Word, it will work. Even if I'm doing it to test Him to find out if it works. It's kind of like, you go to the dealership and buy a car. And you get in the car and you say, "Hold on now. Wait a minute. I see the car has windows. But where's the little crank to roll them down?" And the salesman just laughs at you and says, "Oh, silly boy. They don't do that anymore. They're power windows." You say, wait a minute now. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you got to crank a window if you want that window down. Salesman says, sir, you see that little switch right there on the door? And you say, yeah. It will push it down. Well, why should I do that? He says, it will make the window go down. And I look at him and I say, oh, wait a minute. I've been driving cars for 25 years and I've never seen a button on a door. And now you're telling me this button is going to make that window go down. He says, sir, trust me in this. Well, how do I know it won't break something? He says, sir, just trust me. Just push the button, the window. Yeah, but I've never seen anything like this. I don't know if this will work or not. Sir, shut up and push the button. All right, I'll give it a shot. So I push the button and shazam, down goes the window. It's like, wow, it did work. See, that's the way it is with this.
Well, this praying in tongues stuff, it don't work.
God says it does. All this worship stuff, that doesn't work. God says it does. This fasting, I know for sure, God, that doesn't work. God says it does. And now we're going to be talking here tonight about, you know, the confession. Well, that confession stuff, all those crazy faith preachers out there, that's all they talk about is confession. And then all they want is your money. That confession stuff, you know, they can keep it. Well, they will. As long as you don't believe it works, it's not going to work. You know why? Because you won't do it. But God's Word says it works. Now look at this. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, man, right, this verse right there is telling you, look, man, my word will work. It's like God is saying, when I speak it, I am establishing and setting in motion a spiritual principle that cannot fail. It's never going to stop. It will always be there, active and alive, waiting for somebody to grab a hold of it. Now, one proof of this is back there in Genesis chapter 1. Remember, he says, my word goes forth, it accomplishes what I tell it to do. So what do we see in Genesis chapter 1? God starts talking, does he not? Let there be light. Boom, there's light. Light couldn't resist manifesting when God spoke. Light couldn't say, I don't want to. Light obeyed. God said, let there be, and there was. God said, let there be, and there was. Over and over and over again, he spoke, his word went forth, and it accomplished exactly what he wanted. Okay, now, he's telling us, my word can't fail. It will accomplish everything I sent it forth to accomplish. Therefore, if you'll take the time to find out what I have said in my word about speaking my word, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up speaking what I would speak or what I have spoken, and the results I've said you'll get, you will get, because once my word goes forth, it won't return void. It will bear fruit. And remember what we talked about in Mark chapter 4? The sower sows the word, and you get 30, 60, 100-fold return on this. See? And so he's telling us right here, look, my word. So okay, now based on this right here, let me ask you something. Which would be better for us? To speak in line with what God has said or to speak in line with what a church says God has said? See what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, look over in Psalm chapter 119. See, over in Amos, I think it's Amos chapter 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, if you're in agreement with somebody, what are you doing? You're speaking the same thing, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to walk in a close relationship with God, guess what you have to speak? You have to speak what He's speaking. Now, let me clarify something. I'm not saying that every day the only thing that comes out of your mouth is Scripture. Somebody says, which way is the gas station? For God so loved the world that He gave His only... So wait a minute, buddy, I don't want to hear preaching this. How do I get to the gas station? You know what I'm saying here? You're not walking around all your life confessing Scripture. But what you speak is Scripture or a variation thereof. You'll understand what I mean here in just a little bit. In Psalm 119:89, this is a verse we read earlier this week. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Meaning, it's unchangeable. So, because it's settled and established and cemented, when God speaks it, it's going to work. You're never going to cause God to have to say, oops, I didn't mean to say that. We say that, don't we? Or I take that back. God never takes anything back. Everything He speaks is according to His perfect will, no matter what it is. So His word is settled in heaven. Jesus made the statement over there in Matthew chapter 6. Remember, we read it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if God's word is settled in heaven and everything He speaks comes to pass, then if His will is going to be done in earth as it is in heaven, doesn't it stand to reason it is directly related to His word being released here on earth? Sure. Absolutely. So therefore, when we speak the things that God has spoken, the end result is going to be God results. Look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and look what Jesus said here in verse 63. And this is another one that we've looked at. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let me kind of paraphrase this to try and come at it from a different angle. The words that I speak unto you originate in the realm of the Spirit, well, obviously from God. God's word settled in heaven. Jesus is speaking the words that God sent Him to speak. So the words that I speak to you, they originate in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of the flesh, or put another way, not in the realm of what I think or what man would think. The words that I speak unto you, they originate in the realm of the Spirit, and not only that, but they are life. My words are life. Now here's what's amazing. What that means is that in your hands, that Bible, yeah, there are a lot of words in here, and even though these words are words, many of them, that we learned in elementary school growing up, so we recognize them in our own language, bottom line is, because they are here, these words are life, and they are containers of life. What does that mean? It means that when we begin to speak God's word, we are literally speaking life into our life and into our circumstances. And we're speaking God's life. Remember, I'll give you kind of an example. Remember Lazarus? The fellow that died, Jesus went to raise him from the dead. And he looks at Martha and Mary and he says, roll away the stone. Because he'd been in there 4 days. And they look at him. I get a kick out of this. They look at him. And they say, but by now he stinks. It's like, wait a minute. You've been boo-hooing and blubbing around because he's dead and you want him back. And now you're worried about what he smells like. He says, but Lord, by now he stinks. I can just see Jesus kind of rolling his eyes. Just roll away the stone. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And they had already wrapped him up in the burial clothes. So here he is, you know. Like, you ever seen those old movies, The Mummy? Yeah. Here he comes, you know, walking out. Listen, you read that, but you don't know how to make the Bible really neat? When you read stories like that, pretend you're there watching. Now just imagine, here you're there, all right? You're watching Martha and Mary, and you're watching Jesus. Here are the apostles, and Jesus says, roll away the stone. And you're thinking, whoa, what are you going to do? And then they say, yeah, but Lord, by now, he stinks. And you're thinking, yeah, that's right, he stinks, Jesus. I don't know about this. He says, just roll away the stone. So you're watching. And I'll tell you right now, Martha and Mary did not roll that stone away. They got some people, some, you know, men. They got, you know, Pastor Frank to go over there and help do it. You know, they roll away the stone. And at first there's nothing, just a hole. And they're, you know, wiping the sweat off their head, you know, and you're watching this. You would have helped except, you know, your back, right? You're watching this. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. As you watch, You know, here he comes. What are you going to be thinking? You think you might kind of like step back a little bit? He's like, I ain't never seen nothing like this. He's all wrapped up. Are you sure that's Lazarus? You sure that ain't my mother-in-law? I don't want her coming back, Jesus. Make sure that is my mother-in-law. That's Lazarus, not my mother-in-law. And so, you know, here comes Lazarus. And he comes out, and Jesus said, you know, unloose him. You know, take those grave clothes off of him. And I guarantee you something else, he didn't stink. Listen, life doesn't stink. Only death stinks. He did not smell bad. What did he say? What Jesus spoke, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. He spoke life, and, you know, out of his mouth came these words. And these words traveled through the air. Nobody could see them. And they went into that burial cave. And they looked at all the different bodies until they found, aha, there's Lazarus. And they touched him. And he came back. He was alive. He spoke life. My words are spirit and they are life. This is why Jesus said that we would be able to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. This is why he said that we would be able to do his works. The blind eyes would be open. The deaf ears would be open. He said we could raise the dead. Why? Because when we're speaking like he's speaking, what are we speaking? We're speaking words that originate in the realm of the spirit and they are life. This is why your confession will have a dramatic impact on your relationship with God. Now I understand why God had me pray before this started for people that had questioned about God's love. Because if you don't understand this, whatever you don't understand about God, there's going to be a tendency to speak opposite of what God has said. Well, I don't know if God really loves me. Yet the Bible says God is love. It's over there in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Now, I don't know if God loves me anymore. But see, that's speaking opposite of who God is because God is love. He can't not love you. It's impossible. Other people might hate you. God can't hate you. He only loves you. When we begin to speak what He speaks, when our words line up, we look at a situation and we think, man, this things are, you know, in our mind, you know, things are going bad. They just, look, you know, I've got more red ink than black ink in my checkbook. And I've got these bills and all this. Now, you've got a choice. You can sit and fuss and complain about how all... Now, listen, see if this sounds familiar. We barely make ends meet. We barely have enough to get by. We are living paycheck to paycheck. I don't know how we're going to pay all these bills. You know what you're talking? You know what you're speaking? You're speaking death into your financial situation. Yeah, but Brother Martin, look, man, there is no money in the bank account. No, we are not talking about ignoring the circumstances. What we're talking about is confessing what God has said over the circumstances that need to change. If they didn't need to change, why confess over them? See what I mean? So we're not ignoring what we're seeing. It's just, Jesus didn't ignore the fact that Lazarus was dead. He knew he was dead, but he also knew he had the solution on the inside of him. Words that were spirit and words that were life. So therefore, we look at a lousy situation and we start speaking. We start speaking to it in line with God's word. What has God said? God has not said, I'm going to break you financially. He said, look, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We say, well, praise God, I'll get that Cadillac. No, what I said was, I will supply all your needs. And I don't see that you need a Cadillac. God's not against Cadillacs, you know that. Sometimes, though, what we do is we present to Him our wants and expect Him to bless us with wants before He meets needs. You know what the greatest need we have is? Out of everything, the greatest need we have is to conform to the image of Christ. That's the greatest need in our life. So all of these other things, yeah, they're okay, but I need to look like Jesus. I need to act like Jesus. I need to be like Him. Okay, now, look over in Mark chapter 4. And again, we're going to take a very, very brief look at this whole thing of the sower sows the word. Now remember, God has already said, my word will not return void. It will prosper. It will accomplish whatever I send it forth. So what that means is this. In Scripture, the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Okay? Now that's what God has said. That right there is God life. You see what I mean? Those words, their spirit, their life. Those words are containers of life. Those words are life. By His stripes you were healed. If I'm fighting a physical battle, let me just use myself as an example. Right now in front of you, as I speak this, I'm wearing eyeglasses. Okay? I don't like these eyeglasses. I used to wear contacts. My eyes got to where I couldn't wear contacts anymore. I don't like wearing glasses. You know what? By Jesus' stripes my eyes were healed. Yeah. Well, now, Brother Martin, you know better than that. When people get old like you, they're supposed to wear glasses. Now, wait a minute. Who told you that? Now, seriously. Now, I understand Genesis chapter 3, how that there is degradation taking place in the human body. But I've been wearing these things since fourth grade. Not just since I turned 50. Since fourth grade. By Jesus' stripes, my eyes were healed. And I'll just stand here and admit to you publicly that I obviously have not been confessing enough of God's life words on my eyes, or I personally believe I'd have seen a change by now. If not the complete restoration and no more nearsightedness, at least a few steps down in the magnification of the lenses. You understand what I mean? But it doesn't matter what I do or what I don't do. The bottom line is God's word is still going to be there. I mean, if I don't confess it, I don't confess it, but it's still there. And God's saying, you could do this if you wanted to. I mean, if you want to see the change. You know what happens? We get so accustomed to living with something that we just accept it into our lives. Me with my glasses. Some people with financial problems. Well, just the way it is. I never got a good education, never had a good job, never had this, never had that, never could do anything. I guess I'm just too dumb, too stupid, too ugly, too something. And I just, it's never going to change for us. It's never going to change. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been there and you said some of these things. And God's saying, wait, you don't get it. My son died on the cross so these things could be changed. And we're not talking about waving a magic wand. We're just talking about, in that relationship with Him, you begin to understand how these things can change. And when you begin to speak God's Word and begin to speak His life into these circumstances, things will begin to change. Now, in Mark 4, Jesus says in verse 14, the sower soweth the Word. And remember, we talked about the fact that this is a continual process. It's not just a one-time thing. Just like with me, I've confessed God's Word many times. Thank you, Jesus, by your stripes, Jesus, my eyes were healed. I praise you for my eyes being healed. But I need to keep doing it. I need to sower soweth the Word, an ongoing process in my life. So He says, look, the sower soweth the Word. What does that tell us about releasing these words that are spirit and that are life? It means confession of these words, sowing of these words, it has to be continual. It has to be ongoing. That's just like whenever I fight, I'll use myself again as a testimony. Man, this is great. I learned a long time ago not to give glory to anything that is not of God. Now, let me explain. Sickness and disease is not of God. God does not give people, cancer and flu and the cold or what. I mean, he doesn't do that. By Jesus' stripes we were healed. I learned a long time ago not to give glory to the things that are not of God. So, example. Sometimes, if your nose and your head gets all stuffy and, you start talking like this. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody says, well, you got a cold? And one of the dumbest things that you can do is say, yep. And agree with them. Because God didn't give you that cold. Well, I praise God for my healing. I praise God that I'm healed. I'm telling you right now, when you start talking like this, you've got Christians who should know better are going to think you're weird. That's because we are conditioned to speak opposite of what God has said in His Word. I'll never break this habit. Wait a minute. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This habit has no control over me. God's saying, yeah, it's about time. Who the Son sets free, free indeed. Son set me free, I'm free indeed. I'm free from this habit. This habit has no control over me. I have control over it. And God's saying, Son, he gets it. You see this? And Jesus is saying, yep. When I'm fighting a physical battle, the last thing I want to do is admit to it. And I mean, a couple of times I've broken bones. It's hard not to admit to a broken bone. Well, praise God, I'm healed. I can remember one time, did something goofy, broke a toe, and it was broken. And I went up, I make it into the bedroom, and I lay down on the bed, and I called my wife, said, I think you need to come home. She's at work. She said, well, why? Well, I just think you might need to come home. Well, why? Finally, he's like, well, I think I broke my toe. I get this. She says, well, I'm kind of busy right now. I laid there till like 5:30 for her to come and get me. I didn't want to confess a broken anything, okay? But I needed a little assistance at that time. The point I'm making is this. When I'm fighting a physical battle, I don't like to talk about it. You know, the sniffles or the upchucks or, you know, whatever. I don't want to talk about it. And what I have found, and this is really amazing. It's not amazing. I mean, it's God. But I have found that over the years, you know how sometimes you can feel something in your body, you can feel something trying to, like, take you down? You know, sometimes like a little queasy feeling in the stomach or, you know, something in your nose. You know, you get that kind of burny, like, I mean, it's like you're feeling like something's trying to attack you and latch on to you and try to make you sick. Well, what I have learned over the years is if I don't talk about it and instead immediately start thanking God for my healing, not only does the healing manifest quicker, but in some cases, within a few hours, it's completely gone. Or within a few minutes, it's completely gone. Completely gone. And I'm not bragging on, you know, trying to make me look better than anybody else. I'm just saying, I caught on to this. And I talked to others about it. I said, you've got to quit glorifying a problem. Quit glorifying an attack. The moment you think something is going wrong, just start speaking to it. Just start talking to it out of God's word. Start speaking to it out of God's principles. Start speaking life into what appears to be a dead situation. If your finances look dead, you find scriptures in here about God's blessing. Start speaking God's blessings over a job. Start speaking God's blessings over your finances. Start speaking God's life into that dead situation. I can tell you right now, at first, it'll seem stupid. I'm telling you from experience, you start doing this, and it's like Satan comes, and immediately, thoughts come from nowhere. You don't even know where they're coming from. It's like, this is stupid. What a waste of time. This is dumb. Nothing's going to change. Where do you think that's coming from? Remember, Jesus warned in the Word, Satan comes immediately to steal the Word. I guarantee you, whenever God's word goes forth, somehow, some way, Satan wants to try and create some kind of circumstances to get you to not believe what you just heard. Because he knows if you get to the place of really, really, I mean really, believing it, you are going to act on it. And if you act on it, he can't stop it. He knows this. So that's why he comes when the word is when it's first sown. Before it becomes that huge, great, big tree that he can't uproot. He wants to dig it up before it takes root. And so he says here, the sower soweth the word. In verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. So you hear it, and you think, well, okay, I mean, be like me. I'm not really sure about this, God. I mean, I've heard this message. Boy, what a great message, Brother Martin. Thank you. Hallelujah. But I'm still not so sure about all these things. Then do what I did. Just act in faith and trust that God can't lie. Just do it and keep doing it, because eventually, sower soweth the word, ongoing living process, eventually you get the results. Look here in the same chapter, verse 24. He says, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Now look here. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Okay, now what's the sower doing? He's sowing the word, right? Now let me rephrase it. This is correct here. With what measure or in the amount that you sow, you will get a reciprocal manifested harvest of that word in your life. The sower soweth the word. So you confess the word for 10 seconds, and then the rest, you know, it's like, well, I knew it wasn't going to work. That is not sower soweth. That's ate up. with what measure you meet, meaning at, it's directly proportionate, your 30, 60, 100-fold harvest of God's word that can't return void, the manifested promises of His word in your life is directly proportionate to how you continue to sow, to how you continue to speak. And he says, and to you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He hath what? He that's heard, he that's sown, he that is the sower. You're going to get this. He says, it will be given to you. You are going to get it. It's going to happen. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In other words, you know, you start in on this. Okay, you can't speak God's word without getting a result. Meaning, if you want 10 acres of corn, you got to do what? Sow more than one corn, right? Now, if you only sow one little corn on that 10 acres, you're going to get what that little corn can do. See what I mean? But if you're diligent and do the whole 10 acres, you're going to get 10 acres worth of corn. He says, "For to him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." In other words, you start out and you sow one corn's worth and then you quit. I knew this stuff wouldn't work. You're not going to get a harvest. Remember, it starts off corn in the ground and it begins to grow. You keep confessing, you keep speaking. It's going to keep growing, the stalk. Then you're going to get, you know, the leaves and the ears and so forth. And then the corn's going to be on. But you have to keep sowing. You have to keep doing this. You have to keep speaking it. Look in Mark 11. With all of this in mind, we now go to the most famous confession verses of all. Mark 11:22. Jesus says, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I do not know how much more clear God has to make it. He tells you right here, if you say, be removed to this mountain, what's your mountain? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, lying, temper, I don't know, fill in the blank. You might have a lot of blanks to fill in. What is your mountain? For anybody, what is it? He says, look, speak to it. If you have, okay, let me give you a simple definition of a mountain. Anything that does not line up with God's word. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything. If you have a mountain, whatever it is, if it doesn't line up with God's word, speak to it. Tell it to be removed. Be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those, what's the next word? Things, plural. See that? Not thing, things. Meaning, you got to keep sowing. You have to keep speaking. You have to keep releasing God's word out of you. He says, you're going to get it. You're going to have it. Whatever you say, you're going to have it. Now, when Jesus said this, trust me, his focus was not on $1 million, a big house, and a Cadillac. His focus was on the things of God. Now let's bring this home for us, because we're talking here about this relationship with God. We've already established the fact that one of the biggest problems we have as Christians is what we think about this relationship with God. What we think about what He has said. The sower sows the word. The more we sow the word, the more we get the word results. Therefore, when it comes to our personal life and anything in our life which does not line up with God's word, that is what we could call a dead part of our life. We begin to speak God's words. They are spirit and they are life. We are speaking life into that dead part of alcohol, that dead part of lying, that dead part of pornography, that dead part of I don't know what it would be for you. That dead part, we begin to speak life. And what happens is, that word begins to work on the inside of us to completely turn this thing around. Why? Because it's God's will. And He said His word will not return void. He said it will accomplish and it will be profitable, whatever I've sent it forth to do. So therefore, when I see something in God's word, like this right here, where Jesus said, speak to the mountain, tell it to get out, believe in your heart, don't doubt, you'll get those things that you've spoken, whatever you said, you'll get these things. We know He is speaking relative to the things of God, our needs more than our wants. So here I identify something in my life that needs to be changed. The one thing I can do, one of the things that I can do that's going to help me tremendously is begin to speak to that thing. I question God's love. I need to find passages in Scripture that deal with His love in Psalms, in Proverbs, and I mean just and make confessions out of them. You say, well, Brother Martin, I appreciate that, but you know, I've never really done anything like this, and I'm not really sure what to do. No problem. Look what we have. We're going to, these are for you, and just kind of, you know, pass them around, and yeah, take one down and pass it around. Hallelujah. All right, get off that bus. Now, before you start in on these, I want to make sure everybody has one, and these are for you to keep. At the top, it says speaking. Oh my goodness, a typo. Cross out the V and put an F. Speaking the life of God's word. I don't believe I did a spell check too. Shame on me. Underneath that, you'll see a line. That line is for you to put your name on, to make it personal for you. Now, what we're going to do tonight is read through these. This is just, you know, a front and back of one page, but this is an example of what you can do to speak the life of God into your life and into your circumstances to help bring about change. And remember, in Romans, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See? So not only are you speaking God's life into your life to bring about a change, but faith is coming as you do it. Meaning, the more you do this, the more you get to the place of you really start believing these things. Because it's sinking root, deep root on the inside of you. And as we go through here, you're going to see that there's a verse written, or verses, and underneath that are confessions birthed out of those verses. And they're personalized. So what we're going to do is read the verse, then under that read the italics of the confession. Now when you do this on your own, if you just want to read the italicized part, you can. Because you're still reading God's will, His intention for you. Or you can just read the whole thing like we're going to do tonight. So, I'm going to, you know, we're all going to read this together. I'll start, you all join in, and we're going to go through these confessions. And when we do read this, we won't actually read the scripture reference. We're just going to read the verse and then the confession. I can do all things through Christ. You're supposed to be reading here with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things and live as God desires because Christ strengthens me. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I do not live according to the things of the flesh. I do not live according to the things of death. Through the power of God's life in me, I put to death the things of sin, and I live the life of God. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every day I am changed more and more into the image of Christ by the glory of God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I could not do any better than that verse as it is. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I live every day according to the life of God in me, and I do not give in to any feelings to sin or disobey God. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind. I love others as God loves them. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. My old nature was crucified with Jesus, and the power of sin has been destroyed in my life. Sin has no power over me, and I do not serve it. I am dead to the power of sin, and do not give in to its influence. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I do not allow sin to reign in my life, and I do not give in to its influence. I do not yield any part of my life as an instrument of unrighteousness. I always yield myself totally and completely to God. And each day I live the life of righteousness. I live in the grace of God, and sin has no dominion over any area of my life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I continually bear fruit of God's life in me, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I am Christ, and I have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. I have God's spiritual life, and I live daily according to that life. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I always demonstrate godly kindness to everyone. I am tender-hearted like Christ. In the same way that God has forgiven me for everything, I forgive others for everything. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is constantly working in me. His will and good pleasure are increasing in my life, and I live according to his will and good pleasure. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. All of my accomplishments and all this world has to offer are worthless to me when compared to knowing Jesus. I am willing to lose anything and everything that stands between me and the knowledge of Christ. My greatest desire is to know him and the fullness of the righteousness he has given me. I long to know the power of the resurrection life. I am willing to suffer the death of everything in me that would hinder me from becoming like Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I always rejoice in the Lord and in His love for me. I live a godly life that is evident to everyone. I know that the Lord is always with me. I do not worry about anything. I go to God in prayer about all things and thank Him for hearing my requests. I am in Christ, and the peace of God rules my heart and mind. My mind and thoughts are focused on things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In the same way that God loves me, I love others. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I am risen with Christ. I seek those things which pertain to the kingdom of God, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. I willingly choose to set my affection on things relative to the kingdom and not on the things of this world. I am dead to this world, and my life is hid with Christ in God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word has gone forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish everything in my life that He pleases. It shall greatly prosper in producing His will. Praise God. Praise God. What we've just done here in this, we have spoken His life into our life. We've spoken a strengthening of that relationship with Him, because everything we're speaking, it brings about change, helping us conform to the image of Christ, and it helps us to be able to draw closer to Him. And think about it. All we're doing is speaking the Word of God. That's all we're doing. We're not out there, you know, trying to make people happy. What we're doing is saying, God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can say no to anything through Christ which strengthens me. I can live the way You want me to live, according to Christ which strengthens me. You see what I mean? I mean, on and on. And, you know, you can't... God released His Word, and we begin to take His Word and make Him our words. And you know what? We are now walking in agreement with God. We are now in agreement with Him. And when we stand in agreement with Him like this, and we're speaking what He speaks, that means He now has that open door to begin working in our life in a way He never could before. All because we are speaking what God has said. This is just one example. Man, you can go through Scripture, you begin to read the Word, and you see a verse, and boy, it just jumps out to you. It says, wow, that's good, that's about me. You can just turn it into a confession like I've done right here. This is so simple to do. And then when we speak these things, we are releasing the life of God. We're releasing it into our life. We're speaking life into dead situations. Things about us that we don't think can ever change. That's just how I am. God is saying, no, wait a minute. No, what you see, that is a dead situation. You begin to speak life into that dead part of your life that you don't think will ever change, and you're going to begin to see change take place. My life will begin to raise that Lazarus in you. My words are going to begin to change you. My words will begin to bring you into the structure of life that I want. And in the midst of it all, you are going to begin to understand what it's like to have a greater fellowship with me. Because when you talk like I talk, we're going to hang around a whole lot longer. I mean, we are going to buddy up. We are going to be best friends. And you're going to know it. I, God, already feel that way about you, but you're going to come to the place of understanding it about me. And you're going to be able to live the way that I want you to live. This is, again, just one more tool in this whole process of enhancing this relationship with God. And here's what's interesting. There is no religion in this whatsoever. None. Oh, there are going to be churches. Listen, I'm telling you, there are going to be churches out there, and some preacher's going to say, well, this stuff don't work. I mean, it sounds good, might make you feel good, but it really don't work. You know what that? You know what they just said? People that say that, you know what they just told you? They do not believe God's Word. Because, listen, I have shown you Scripture tonight to show you this works. So if somebody says it doesn't work, it means they don't believe what God has said about this. So even if you have to be like me and just take a step of faith and just start doing this and just start doing this and just start doing this, not even sure if it really will work even after tonight, you do it by faith and eventually you're going to start seeing some results. And again, keep in mind, Satan will fight you on your confessions. He'll try to get you to not confess. He'll send people along. You'll be confessing all these things about you. And I mean, really, you're talking about how great you are in all this. I mean, you really are. What, when you confess this stuff, you are confessing God's approval of you. Somebody else, invariably, man, somebody come along and tell you you're a jerk. How dumb you are. You know. Worst thing you can do is say, well, yeah, you're right. No. You say, no, wait a minute. I'm risen with Christ. I'm not a jerk. You may not like me, but I am risen with Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places with Him. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God is my Father. I'm telling you, man, change will come. And keep in mind, it's not an overnight process. When you begin to do this and it becomes a habit, you start talking this way. You begin to see yourself differently. And eventually the change starts by little roots of change sprouting. And then pretty soon there's a stalk of change. Then pretty soon you have the leaves of change. And then after a while, the fruit of change is born in your life. Man, it's there. Now let's just get kind of personal here. I don't know the specifics of, you know, why you're here at the Family Prayer Center Rehab. I don't know. I don't need to know. What I know is this. Right here will specifically deal with whatever the reason you're here. This will deal with it. Absolutely, it will deal with it. The change is possible. And when you apply God's Word for this change, you will change. And your life will absolutely be different. And for whatever it's worth, worked for me. And it still works for me. Praise God.